And now I would like to begin my talk with a video of what love is.
Să te întreb cum te cheamă. Câți ani ai, Lorelai?
14 ani.
Bun, Lorelai, ce ne-ai pregătit?
Voi cânta în această seară vocal și la pian.
Vocal la și la pian?
Da.
Cum va cânta la pian?
Hai să vedem. La pian cu... Cum vei cânta la pian? Iartă-mă că...
Cu degetele de la picioare.
Incredibil, incredibil. Părinții tăi sunt aici?
Mami Vio, da.
Mami Vio?
Da.
Bine atunci, cred că are și ea emoții,
da.
Și noi suntem...
Mami, stai puțin. De ce? E foarte rar să-i spui unei mame și numele, prenumele. De ce îi spui mami eu și doar, nu doar mami?
Pentru că eu am fost abandonată de la naștere și am luat în plasament de la 2 luni.
E aici, în sală?
E aici.
E în culise.
Vrem să, vrem să o aplaudăm. Vrem să,
da,
vrem
da.
Să...
Vino mamilor, Elai,
înainte de toate.
Abia aștept să te ascult. Succes!
Thank you.
pentru că ești foarte talentată și pentru că meriți să fii acolo.
Mulțumesc!
Mă bucur enorm pentru tine.
Mulțumesc!
O comunie de două!
She's such a beautiful young woman. I could see all the tears in the audience. And her love was so obvious there, and her mother's love. So the name of my talk today, Stop in the Name of Love. And February to me has always been the month of love. So as the title of my talk claims, I'm continuing the theme today. The story of David, who represents divine love individualized in human consciousness, is told in the 17th chapter of First Book of Samuel in the Bible. Paul Evans writes in the Story of God Bible commentary that the Book of Samuel is one of the great literary works in human history. Its masterfully told stories have captured the imagination of readers for centuries. And chief among them is the story of David and Goliath, the classic underdog story. The story about David, the giant killer, begins with the armies of the Israelites and Philistines confronting each other, ready for a great battle. The armies are situated on two hills. And one day, David comes to the Israelite camp with food from home for his brothers in the army. And when he arrived, he heard Goliath challenging any Israelite to come out and fight him. And all the soldiers were reluctant to take up the challenge. Goliath was a giant of a man. And according to the story, he was 9 1/2 feet tall and loaded with heavy armor. One of the Bible commentaries states that he was from Gath, a town where the last of the Anakites settled, and which held people renowned for their stature. So a height of 9 feet 6 inches tall seems right. His appearance and challenge struck terror in the Israelite soldiers. But when David saw their fear, he was amazed and horrified. David had a simple faith and trust in God. He believed that with the Lord on his side, he could not be defeated in any challenge. He believed that Israel could not be overpowered since the Lord was on the side of Israel. And he was therefore quite surprised to see the negative reaction of the soldiers in the Lord's army. David was quick to take up the challenge of fighting the giant, and the other soldiers, including his brothers, thought it was ridiculous that a scrawny 15-year-old kid, punk, would even think of fighting a giant. The average height of a man in ancient Israel was around 5 feet to 5 1/2 feet tall. This would make David at least 4 feet shorter than his rival. But they took him to King Saul to get his permission. Saul was also reluctant, but David convinced him. David told Saul of his experiences as a shepherd when he would have to fight off bears and other wild animals. Saul finally consented to let David try his hand with the giant. He even wanted to help David by letting David use his armor. But to David, the armor of Saul was a burden. Instead, David went to meet the giant with his sling. On the way, he picked up 5 large smooth stones from a riverbed. Now, what the Bible doesn't tell us is that David was probably skilled as a slinger. Paul Evans, in his commentary, notes a few things about ancient combat to get to the bottom of David's plan to defeat Goliath. He describes how in ancient warfare, the artillery part of the army was made up of archers and slingers. And within biblical history itself, the effectiveness of the slingers is referenced. In the book of Judges, 20th chapter, 16th verse, 700 slingers from the tribe of Benjamin, it is noted, that each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. When Goliath saw David coming to meet him, he was flabbergasted. The giant said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" He cursed David and laughed at him. He thought he would have a ridiculously easy fight in taking care of David. And he further said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Wow. Goliath's sarcasm and threats did not scare David. David said to the giant, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David even went further and said to the giant, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." And Goliath probably laughed at this outburst of confidence. He did not think David had a chance with him. And as they came together for the battle, David took a stone and put it in a sling, and he slung the stone at the giant, hitting him on the forehead. We are told that the stone sank into the giant's forehead. He fell to the ground, and David ran to him, took the giant's sword, and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw what happened to Goliath, they panicked and fled. The Israelites chased those Philistines and then defeated them. So what does this story or any story in the Bible have to teach us? With the use of metaphysics, there are multiple ways to study this account of God taking care of his people. And why should that concern us? The essence of a metaphysical approach to the Bible is that it is the personal story of each soul who approaches it. The characters become ideas and attitudes in our own consciousness, and the unfolding drama depicts conflicts that each of us experiences in moving forward towards spiritual awareness and expression. That Christ consciousness that Jesus Christ taught and demonstrated. On a higher level of interpretation, we might say that a basic meaning of the story is this. The first stone that David picked to sling at Goliath represented David's faith in the one presence and power, God. If God is the only person in the universe, there can be nothing to fear. When we believe our cause is right and believe that God is with us, we can succeed in meeting any challenge, no matter how big or difficult it may seem to us. All challenges that seem to defeat us begin in our minds. Our perceptions cause us to be afraid. The giant is some big misconception in our minds that is false. And we are loaded with misconceptions about life, about God, and about ourselves. We think many of these misconceptions are true. The second smooth stone is our own identity as the Christ, the beloved child of God. David knew he was loved by God. Our nature and God's nature are the same, for we are the living expressions of God. The Apostle Paul writes, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Well, so can you and I. When from our humanness we feel powerless and defeated, we can remember our divinity, our God-given Christ nature. Through this remembering, we come to a new understanding. The third smooth stone is the power of thought, which is our understanding of the formative power of thought. We call this power the law of mind action. It reminds us that our thoughts create our experience. Through our habitually held thoughts, we decide how we will respond to people, events, and circumstances of our lives. Our response then dictates whether we will see ourselves as victims or take dominion over our lives. The fourth stone is affirmative prayer, the prayer that knows the truth. David met with strong denials the ignorance and arrogance of sense in every boast and curse of the giant, and then spoke affirmations to declare that spirit is the only intelligence, life, and power. Through denials, statements that release the grip that error thinking has held on our minds, and affirmations, statements that build a strong consciousness of truth. We come to a clearer view not only of ourselves, but also of how God's universe is structured to offer us constant support. Our fifth stone is live the truth we know. Next to the first stone, it is the most important. It reminds us to base every thought, word, and action on our growing understanding of the truth that we know. Each time we use this fifth stone, we come to a renewed awareness of our God-given dominion. You may wonder why five smooth stones were chosen. They represent the five senses that have been stripped of their material roughness. As we approach constant God awareness, our first stone of faith will shine with the light of truth that will quickly dissolve any fear in our lives. So, the title of my talk, Stop in the Name of Love. You may be wondering why I haven't had the song by the Supremes playing. Outside of the first line, the lyrics didn't fit with my talk, as they were all about what others do to us and not how we create our lives. However, I do want you to stop in the name of love. Wake up to the truth of your life. Recently, during my morning prayer practice, I was moved by one of Mark Nepo's reflections on living slower. Have you noticed that you sometimes would like to slow down? Yet everything is speeding up. The commercials are faster and shorter. The news is told so fast. It's difficult to clearly understand what the story was. And then it seems that when we are inconvenienced, we're being asked to slow down. When we are delayed at the store checkout or waiting for our check in a restaurant, if you can get into one, we are being asked to relax. When we find ourselves stalled in our profoundly serious and ambitious plans, we're stopped by the red tape of it all. Unfortunately, we are all so high-paced, running so fast to where we want to be, that many of us only slow down because of illness, or as in today's world, by all these pandemic restrictions. Recently, my attention was drawn to an article regarding the changing pace of life in our world. This rapid pace of life we are trying to live is causing problems for our physical, mental, and spiritual health. And many of us, despite the pandemic and social distancing, are caught up in the rat race, keeping to an exhausting daily routine that leaves little time for rest and relaxation. Technological advances have resulted in labor-saving devices for the home and the office, which instead of making our lives easier and giving us more time to enjoy life, we have used them to make our lives even busier. Escape from our work and its responsibilities have become almost impossible. The importance and pressure of our work results in us neglecting healthy eating and sleeping habits and exercise, which is essential to our bodies. It also has resulted in families spending less meaningful time together. This can be seen by the increasing divorce rates, number of domestic violence cases, increased crime rate, depression in both children and adults, and the poor relationships some parents have with their children. The mass of incoming information has eroded our attention and our creativity. This last week, I heard a news clip that said many young women and men never cook a meal at home because they have no knowledge of how to cook a meal. Wow. People have less time to reflect on anything as they become dominated by a need to act, a need to be online, robotically, always checking. Multitasking stimulates internal chaos and fragmented attention. It interrupts and diminishes learning, productivity, and even friendships. Switching your attention constantly reduces your efficiency and skill. And researchers have voiced that maybe the biggest cost we've encountered is the harm to human relationships. Instead of enhancing close bonds, technology has facilitated avoidance of direct person-to-person contact, which takes too much time. We maintain the illusion that we're connected more closely than ever by the number of Facebook likes we accumulate. But it's all fast. Now, this instant, everything is impulse. Our sense of connection exists in the action, not an accumulated, deepening relationship. My own experience is with my family and friends, and even though we're homebound, we spend less time in speaking with each other. When we do have time, it's evident that our lives are busy, so busy, that even our call is sometimes on the clock. Our interactions are mostly a text or brief email. I admit that at times I have done the same, and this creates a feeling of isolation. For 3.5 months this last year, I was at my sister Kathy's bedside at Mayo Hospital in Rochester. And from June into September, I received multiple loving calls, texts, and emails that supported me and being present to Kathy and her painful condition. I was so grateful for all those loving folks. And after Kathy's transition, I returned home. I was in need of some downtime. And these last 5 months I have spent being reflective and have focused on processing all that has happened in my life over the last year and a half. Two of my siblings have passed, and I am now the only surviving sibling of six in my family. The calls of my family and friends have, along with my prayer practice, carried me through this time. Oh, and I want to mention my prayer chaplain, who has called me weekly during this whole year. Now that I am through those early months, there are less calls. I am now saying there aren't texts or emails. What I have found missing is sometimes is the sound of a human voice. Keeping social distancing has taken over the phone also, and it isn't only on other people's part. It's been on mine also. So this year I decided I was going to make some changes in this part of my life. It was a stop in the name of love decision. I believe that as God's beloved, we are here to live a happy life. With the pace we are going, it is often hard for anyone to keep one's mind open to having an amazing spiritual experience. Spirituality helps to train our minds to cope with our fast-paced life and make the best use of the resources that are available. A spiritual journey helps us to understand the right way to live practically in today's world. Our spirituality makes us aware of our own needs and desires in life. And you might think that a spiritual life means letting go of all the materialistic desires and ambitions. However, this is a false notion. Spirituality is about finding what you really want in life. Spirituality is a way of connecting your mind to your heart and to your soul. People often think that if you want to live in a spiritual way, then you must devote all your time to God or any other higher power. It is important to know that when your mind is calm due to spirituality, it can make better decisions. Thus, the importance of making time for prayer and meditation, not just on Sunday, but every day, every moment. And then, as Reverend Mike reminded us last Sunday, it is about loving God and our neighbor as ourselves. So when I resolved after stopping and reflecting, was that each day I would make contact with someone in my life with a phone call or a letter. When someone's name comes to my mind during the day or in the evening, I write their name on my list to contact them. I don't see this as a coincidence. This last week I called some folks and sent a Valentine card to others, and I have never sent a Valentine card to some of them before. And it is in giving that we receive. I was gifted with some of the sweetest responses. One friend told me that she couldn't remember the last time she'd received a Valentine. And in calling, I became aware of how my friends and family struggle with being at home, and found that they are grateful just for someone to listen at times. This week, I called to wish a friend happy birthday and found out that minutes before my call, she had received the news her brother had made his transition. She talked to me of their relationship for over half an hour. I have realized how easy it has been at times to tell myself that I'm too busy to talk to others. I will admit that initially my guilt popped up for not calling sooner. So it has taken courage, confidence, and grace to get me back to reaching out. David represents the consciousness of the power of love to overcome error thought. Love must have the assurance of truth and send it forth with confidence, courage, and power, both in thought and word. The practical lesson in the story today was for each of us to realize there's a way to break down the most formidable wall of being focused only on our needs, not by willpower, but by well-directed thoughts moved by love. So stop in the name of love. Remember, we are here to be love, to be a light, a part of community, both spiritually and physically. Call those that you think of. Greet your neighbors or people in the store, even if they duck their heads or turn away. Let others know you are missing them being in your life, not just in the chat on Sunday. Baby boomers and those of us who are older know what we've lost with this faster pace of life. The younger generation is growing up with an addictive inner pressure and chronic stress as normal. When they can't go any faster and they can't slow down, it will be a hard road to pick up the developmental pieces they've missed in our wild rush for progress. The restrictions of maintaining social distancing has impacted our whole population immensely, with fear of possibly getting ill or dying. This damage to human relationships is, to me, something all of us have the power to heal. When we use the power of the five smooth stones, we expand our consciousness. We bring these gifts to others. So stop in the name of love and remember, first, faith in the presence and power of God. Second, that we are living, breathing Christ, beloved of God. Third, the power of thought, which we call the law of attraction. Our thoughts create our experience. Fourth, affirmative prayer, which through denials and affirmation help us to know our true self. And fifth, through living the truth of who we are, we come to know and remember to claim our dominion over our lives. Spirituality makes use of ancient teachings and assists our thought processes to make our fast-paced life easier and happier. The roadmap is in the Bible to help you find your way. It is now for you to open it and receive the gifts it offers. So let us now take these thoughts to meditation.